Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
So, we didn't really do this part last week, so what have you been up to lately?
Mostly trying to get my settlement up and running and work on improving my freighter base in No Man's Sky.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I just haven't had the motivation to play No Man's Sky lately, or much of anything. But I've been jumping into little games on my Switch, quote unquote little games. Like recently they had a free trial for the game Uno. Yes, like mm-hmm. The card game Uno.
All right.
So you can play that. So I've been kind of messing around with that. It was like $4. Yes, I know, free trial, but I bought it because it was $4. And that's fine. Part of the, you know, buying into the online service, not the big one, not the, you know, the ultimate one that lets you have access to Nintendo 64 games. I couldn't give a damn about that. But although I would like to be able to play Sega Genesis games, but whatever. Regardless, just having the online service gives you access to some NES games and Super NES games. So I like to jump into those. You know, the occasional JRPG or Dr. Mario. That is just a great way to wind down when I get home from work. You just jump into it and effectively play a version of Tetris. You really don't have to think. You just do, you know, put the pills where they need to go. It helps you wind down after my long-ass commute every day. So little things like that. But otherwise, I've been trying to throw in cartridges for games that I own that I almost never play. Like, you know, Civilization VI.
And how's that working out for you?
It's Civilization VI. Yay. It's a Civ game. Woo.
Well, a lot of people love those games.
Yeah. I enjoy Civilization. You can literally, on Civ 5, which I have on Steam, I used to start playing that and 12 hours later come up for air and then go to bed for a while, get back up and play again because it's in depth and you just one more turn. That sort of gameplay is awesome. And while I can do that, it's hard because once you start getting pulled down into that, I don't have time for that. If I were on vacation, that'd be one thing. If I've got a week off and I have the time to just literally do that, cool. Otherwise, nope. It's really kind of a hard situation, you know? But point is, not really doing anything major when it comes to games. And it's really kind of sad because there's lots of games coming out and I feel like I should be playing them. But then I remember, I'm not a video game reviewer. It's not my job or your job to be playing all the newest and the latest games or to stay on top of all that. We're commenting on stories in the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people may go, oh God, you don't play, you haven't played anything new in years. Nope. But when a game that's worth my time shows up, I'll be happy to do so. The last one I thought was going to fit that bill was Cyberpunk 2077. And it shit the bed on launch. So, next one I'm looking forward to is Starfield. Oh, wait. That got pushed back again. So it's probably not coming out this year.
Now, I'm in no rush.
Yeah, me either. But this is why I have a, you know, three bookcases full of role-playing games behind me.
No, it's because you have a problem.
What? Yes, but where other people play all the newest and the latest video games, I'm buying awesome hardback, to the most part, copies of pieces of art. Playable pieces of art. Oh, but video games are too. And yours are buggy as shit.
Not always.
That's true. Not always. And I have to be honest here. I will be honest here. Really should comment on this. Pirate Borg. I got that recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a... for the most part, it's a fine game. It is a quality print. I love the look of it. I haven't had a chance to play it, but it looks like it's going to be fun. Now, there are monsters, you know, different adversaries you can run into. And recently, well, it was prior to, well, it was a few days prior to us recording this show. So, yeah, a couple weeks ago, a little over a week ago, the developer, Limithron Games, and its author came forward on Kickstarter to apologize for a bit of problematic work in Pirate Borg. And that is one of the zombies. He wanted to have, he's got a female zombie, he's got a fat zombie, he's got a kind of pale leader type zombie, the Admiral. Each of them have a name, the Bilge Rat, the Grog Barrel, the Admiral. And then he said he wanted to be inclusive. So he put a dark-skinned zombie with dreadlocks in. Okay. And the name comes off of back, there used to be crewmen on these ships that would climb up through the rigging, right?
Mm-hmm.
To work on the sails and whatnot. And they were known as like rigging monkeys or whatever, right?
Right.
So he modified that name. And this dark skinned with dreadlocks zombie, that's the artwork for it, was named the Rope Monkey.
And he didn't see a problem with that.
Apparently, no. Now, he is hiring a sensitivity editor to go through the entire book and find out any other problems there might be in it. And he's going to issue out stickers if you want them that you can cover up the names or other parts if they're found. And if you want a new printed copy, a second edition that is hasn't been fixed, because he's got a new name that he's going to change that to, all you have to do is pay shipping, and you can get a new book. And that's great. And I think he is doing the right things. He has apologized. He's doing the right things in regards to this. But I would have been... we'd been remiss not to mention this. So if you did buy Pirate Borg and you just happened to miss this particular news, if you didn't keep up to date on the updates on Kickstarter, because it has not really gone public yet. He's putting off the public release of the book. Yeah, if you haven't looked through your book yet, and you haven't seen that, you probably want to look and maybe contact them about a sticker or a new copy of the book or something, because, yeah, that's a big yikes. Just saying.
Well, I mean, every game has its mistakes.
Sure.
I mean, come on. It almost slipped through the cracks when they had one of the pets your hunter could, or your ranger could collect was called a juvenile stalker.
Oh, no.
Because the stalker is the kind of pet that you can collect. And you can only capture juvenile versions of them to become pets for your ranger. And they almost let it slip that, you know, they were going to have a juvenile stalker in the game. So they had this now a juvenile jungle stalker.
It's not a whole lot better. No.
You're not a juvenile stalker.
Yes, that would have been unfortunate.
Adding that little jungle bit does wonders to keep you from getting in trouble.
Yes. Anywho, would you care to move on?
Sure.
Yet another topic about video games. How original.
Hey, so, Bealus.
Yes.
Now, you still play, like, Guild Wars 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been known to play that from time to time. I've been known to play a lot of MMORPGs, actually, from time to time. I still have, New World installed on my laptop.
Which begs the question, why?
It does, it does. And that's kind of where this topic came from. I mean, it's 2023. And MMORPGs have been really a thing, quote-unquote, since the early mid-90s. Some would say it goes back further. I mean, there's, you know, you could trace back the origin of MMORPGs back to the earliest parts of the internet. Yeah, sure. But what we know of as a modern MMO graphical, straight up MMORPG goes back to the early 90s, effectively. And that's fine. So we're looking at what? Roughly 30 years of these games? And while the modern games are significantly different than the earliest MMORPGs, there's really huge differences. But the gameplay is still basically the same. Do quests, group up, kill stuff, go on adventures, yada, yada, yada. And that's great. Mm-hmm. Nice online gameplay. But we're in a world where World of Warcraft released, I don't even remember what expansion it is for them now. 8th or 9th.
I think it's like the Dragonflight or
Dragonflight, yes. They released that, and apparently it's doing all right. It's not nearly as popular as their biggest one, which was their 3rd expansion, Wrath of the Lich King. But whatever. It's still moving along. They're doing their thing. And Lord of the Rings Online is working on another expansion for probably later this year. One might ask her, you know, why, but they are great. And Guild Wars 2 continues to roll along. They're on what, their 3rd expansion?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're probably going to have a 4th.
Oh, no, they've been greenlit for another one.
Yeah. So these games continue to trundle along. Hell, EverQuest keeps putting out expansions. Not EverQuest 2, which also does, but EverQuest from the late 90s continues to put out expansions. They've got 30 of those things, if I remember right. And they still have a fan base. It's not huge, but there are people still playing old EverQuest. And if they were still running, there are games earlier than EverQuest that were out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can still play Anarchy Online from like 2000. I wouldn't.
Begs the question, why though? Yeah.
I used to really enjoy Anarchy Online. It had some really fun gameplay, and it was a science fiction game that was entertaining. There was that. It had some benefits. There has some gameplay that I think other games would be, it would be good of them to put in there, like, you know, scaling instances, adventures that can be randomized, quests that you can just go to a panel and you go, I want something that's going to give me lots of money, that is moderately difficult and can be run solo. You just move these sliders over. You can do a solo adventure or you can do a group adventure. You know, they have two different kiosks you can go to, and you can choose whether you want one that's lots of experience but not that much money, or you want it balanced, or, you know, you can scale your difficulty, things like that, and it will tailor. Oh, and it'll give you options, and you can choose which one you want the rewards off of. I want this quest, I want that quest, I want that quest. And then you go out and do them. And you can have all kinds of fun, because traveling to that quest is half the experience. Because that's difficult in itself. But that's beside the point. I'm kind of defeating my own argument here. Obviously, MMOs are still a thing. But from when did World of Warcraft come out? Was that 2004?
2004.
Okay. So I believe it was like 2008 or 2010, right in there, when Wrath of the Lich King came out. That was their peak, about 13 years ago. And they had millions and millions and millions of subscribers. Well, not that long ago, just recently, Blizzard lost not just all of their World of Warcraft players in China. They lost all of their players, period, in China. Their partner, NetEase, where they had all of their games, because you have to be run in China, you have to run through a local company.
Right.
And their deal with NetEase ended, and they lost all of their all their business in China, which was a lot. So that was a big hit, and it got me thinking. Yeah, you've got all this MMOs, a new MMO like New World is pretty much the same when you come right down to it. It may be prettier, better graphics, that sort of thing, but it's still your same go out, kill stuff, do quests, make money, experience, level up, yada, yada. It's the same basic gameplay as early MMOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could do that. I could play New World. I could play World of Warcraft. I could play original EverQuest or whatever. Or I could go play pretty much any other live service out there and have the same experience and more. Because virtually every video game out there that comes out now that has an online component are now live services. So you can have way more gameplay. And you're not just stuck into the same old quest, get experience, get loot, rinse, repeat. With the occasional, let's get together and do a raid. I could go and play any of the Assassin's Creed games, especially the newest ones. Not saying you'd want to, but you could. You could go play the Forza Racing games. They have live services. Hell, I've argued against it, but you can play GTA 5 and go play Grand Theft Auto Online. That is vastly different than most MMORPGs out there. Yeah, it's got some similarities. All online games do to MMOs. Live services are effectively taking the always on, always playable, always multiplayer version of an MMORPG and bringing it to every other type of video game. Hell, they had a freaking live service version of Mario where you would play through the regular Super Mario world, or not world, Super Mario Brothers. And you were competing against other people in a battle royale until you were the one who made it the furthest. You got the best score. That isn't running anymore, but you've got Tetris 99, which is a battle royale where everybody's playing Tetris. Why? My argument here, and you can, I figure this is, you're the perfect person to talk to about this. Why should I continue to play MMORPGs at $15 a month for a, you know, a good portion of them? Not all of them. Some of them are free to play, quote unquote, but they have microtransactions in them. Or there, some of them are subscription with microtransactions. Thank you, World of Warcraft. Right? Why should I play that money sink and time sink when I can go play something simple and fun that maybe has different and more versatile gameplay that's free with microtransactions, or I just pay the freaking price to play it and that's it?
Well, you can do that with MMOs. There's the buy-to-play model, like Guild Wars 2. You buy it once and then you play it.
It has microtransactions.
Then, if you want to.
True.
All of their microtransactions are cosmetic, and, you know, like, you can get experience buffs if you want to, you know, earn a little more experience than everybody else. But by the time you get started, you're already, everybody else is way beyond you. So I have no problem with them selling experience buffs. If you want to insta boost to level 80, go ahead. So you're going to be a level 80 and you're not going to know how to play your character. Good for you.
Yes. But what does that hold over a game like Forza, where I can go race against my friends and have fun with that and collect new cars and just do all kinds of stuff with that for the price of admission?
Well, it's basically all they've done is they've taken the service, quote unquote, that you get from playing an MMO. They've taken that idea and they've moved it to other games.
Sure.
They liked how it worked in MMOs, and so now they've started implementing it on every other game. To some degree, they've done it better on some games, but usually they do it worse. So
Ubisoft.
It's just a matter of, all you're doing is you're making your Forza game more like an MMO. So it's not a matter of what's the point of playing MMOs. It's more of, everywhere you look, there are MMO-esque games that have been turned into live service games.
But most of them I don't have to play $15 a month for.
And I don't pay $15 a month to play them either, because I bought the game. And if I decide I want the expansion, then I can buy that too. Otherwise, I can keep playing the base game.
Sure. That's you. But that's one game.
But that's just it. You're acting like you have to pay a monthly service, or you have to pay microtransactions.
Well, what is the largest MMORPG out there?
Probably Final Fantasy 14.
Yes. And it is a subscription model.
Or, nope, you can buy to play. I thought.
No, it's free to play up to through the first expansion, then it's subscription model.
Mm.
But what's the second largest?
Probably World of Warcraft.
It's arguably yes. I haven't seen the most recent numbers. It's either that or like a Guild Wars 2. But of the top three, you've got two subscription models, both of which let you get a little ways for free, and then you got to pay. And then you got one that's free to play for the first 80 levels. And then if you want to expand, and whatnot, you can buy the expansions, which is great. Well,
and the free-to-play is limited.
Yeah, it's better to just buy the damn thing.
But the nice thing about their free-to-play, even though you get less character slots and less bag space and all that, they don't limit you on, you can't play these certain dungeons, or you can't do these certain raids, or you can't do this or this or this. Because you're free to play. No, you can do everything in the game. You just don't have a whole lot of character slots and bag slots. You have to buy more if you want them.
Right. If you don't want to pay for the game, it's buy to play, then you have to buy through microtransactions or live with less.
Well, and actually, you don't even have to do that, because you can earn in-game currency that allows you to get those things.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I played. I don't remember earning gems for the store.
Oh, yeah. You basically, what you do is the gold you earn in-game, you can turn into gems. You can trade it at the trading post and get gems.
Huh. That's cool. But my point here is, and you could, I'm not saying you're wrong at all. It all comes down to subjective, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like, you know, we both played World of Warcraft for years, right?
Yeah, 10 years.
And we've both played various games. I mean, you've played probably less MMOs than I have.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while there, I was basically doing it as my job, my second job, let's say. But those are time sinks. You sit there, and if you're going to play the game, you play the game, right? You're leveling, you're questing, you're doing dungeons, maybe even doing raiding if that's, you know, the end game, that sort of thing. You dedicate yourself and your time to that game, usually at least an hour a day, most every day. Some people play not every day, but they play for several hours. If you're not going to do that, you aren't playing the game right. And you're not getting your full value if you're subscribing to a game, such as World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy XIV. Or you can go out and buy a game that has an online component, you pay your $70, you play it while you have your fun, and then you toss it aside and you buy a different game that has an online component, that has a live service, that's trying to get you to play and buy your microtransactions, but you don't gotta. You pay your price to get in, kind of like a buy-to-play MMO. You play it as much as you want. You toss it aside. You buy the next game. The time sink just isn't there. It's like these live services, to a large degree, not entirely, have done away with that. They want you to play. They want you to keep putting your money into it, kind of like a Grand Theft Auto Online. But you don't got to. You can play it like Forza. Race, have fun, and then maybe next year there's a new version. And you buy it, and you play it, kind of like all of the EA sports games. Those are a great example. their live services for 1 year for that season. You can, if you love your NFL games, you play your Madden. I wouldn't suggest it because Madden sucks, but you could play it. Or you could play your NBA Jam or any NBA whatever, right? And you play the hell out of it. Or you play it casually, whatever. Your FIFA, whatever. You play until you don't want to play anymore. And if you want to pick up the next year's game, you can. You don't got to. It's not connected to the last one. So just do what you're going to do. But in an MMORPG, they push that addictive quality. You must keep leveling. Gotta go. Gotta be fast. Gotta be the top guy. Or at least be up there. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, and building it. If you don't have that
Hold on a second. That, you broke out about a minute ago. Please repeat.
I was just going to say, with World of Warcraft, you're on that gear treadmill.
Yes.
That's how they keep you playing, because if you're going to be elite, you have to stay on that damn gear treadmill. Other MMOs didn't do that.
I disagree.
Guild Wars 2. Where's the gear treadmill with that?
Yeah, but that's one game. Almost every game has that whole gear tiers. You got to keep going after the next raid tier, the next level of gear.
And if you don't like that, then don't play that, because Guild War 2 is sitting there nice and comfy. If you want to play something that doesn't have that have to play, because you could walk away for 6 months, come back, and you're no worse off than you were when you left. Yeah, there's more things to do because they keep adding new content to the game, but you're not falling behind everybody else. The gear you have is just as relevant as it was when you left.
Right. And I would say the exception does not prove the rule.
But you're acting like it's a hard and fast, you do this or you suck.
Well, for the MMO industry, that is the vast majority of the industry.
But it's not the entire industry.
Yeah, but again, the exception doesn't prove the rule. That's one game. And that's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. More games should be like that. Hell, more games should be like Anarchy Online. Yes, I am saying that because they had their questing model is virtually non-existent. You don't have go talk to person and get a quest and go to the next person and get a quest for the most part. You have go to kiosk. They have two of them. One is solo, one is group. And you can choose how you want it to have lots of experience and less money and that sort of thing. You have difficulty slider, money slider, and experience slider. You choose where you want that to be. And it'll pop up with like six different options that you can see the rewards. You choose the ones you want. You know, this type of, maybe you want, I want to go out and kill somebody. Okay, go find a big bad and kill him. Great. It'll tell you, here's the quest. It'll have this reward. Boom. You go out and do it. And you just come back and rinse and repeat and boonga banga bonga boom. Having that type of, procedural questing would help out a huge amount of other MMOs. But most don't do that. They are the exception that doesn't prove the rule. You know what I'm saying? My argument here is that MMOs as a MMORPG specifically, as a rule for overall, the majority of them have outlived their usefulness when there's other games out there that give you a better gameplay experience, especially if you're solo. For example, so many games come out here that have a single player aspect and the ability to play online. A huge amount of first person shooters They've got a campaign mode, and you can go in and play online in a battle royale, or you can play against with your friends, or just solo in a group. They'll put you in a group playing against another bunch of randoms and have fun. You know, you could say, well, that's like PvP in an MMORPG. Sure, but not always. So, I don't know. It feels to me like there's not a lot of use for MMORPGs anymore. Sure, there's play to be had. I'm not saying there's not. But I could go play No Man's Sky, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no MMORPG out there that replicates what No Man's Sky does.
Nope.
Or even Elite Dangerous. They're both kind of the... They're not the same. And hell, No Man's Sky isn't even really a... They are a live service, but they don't charge microtransactions.
Nope.
So...
And they give away their updates for free.
Right. They're almost... It's so weird. They are, again, the exception that doesn't prove the rule. They're the Guild Wars 2 of live services. They give away all this great amount of content for a very small price. You don't have to buy anything. But you can't say every live service is like No Man's Sky. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Elite Dangerous, they charge for the expansions. You have to, well, what expansions they've had. And it's got microtransactions. Lots of them. And I wouldn't even say it's as fun as No Man's Sky. It's certainly better than, what's that game I hate? Starts with an S.
Star Wars?
No. You hate Star Wars. I keep wanting to say Star Frontiers, but that's not right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's a space, video game coming that's been in development for damn near a decade.
Starfield?
No.
Oh, you're talking about Star Citizen.
Thank you. Remember, I fell on my head recently, and, you know, my brain no worky good anymore. But, yeah. I would say Elite Dangerous is way better than Star Citizen.
Well, I would quite agree. And it's been out for forever.
It actually has been out. And, yeah. So both No Man's Sky and Star Citizen, and Elite Dangerous are better than Star Citizen simply by existing. Because Star Citizen charges you freaking microtransactions, and in some cases, macrotransactions, for a game that isn't even released yet, and may never release. Wow. And I'm shooting my own argument in the foot by that, but then again, the exception does not prove the rule here. Just because Star Citizen sucks doesn't mean they all do. Anywho, do you have anything that you can say in defense of an MMO industry that is, let's say they're all like, or most of them are like World of Warcraft?
If that was the case, they wouldn't be as popular as they still are.
Now, one would argue, are they still popular?
They still have millions of players. So, yeah, they're still popular. Are they raking in, you know, the huge cash that they used to? No. But that's how games go. Certain games become popular for a while, and then they fade away, and then they come back maybe 20 years later. It is what it is.
Yeah, I suppose. It just seems like, yeah, for me, the time of the MMORPG has basically come and gone. Of course, your mileage may vary.
Well, I'm still playing the game I enjoy, so...
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so that's about it for this week. Do you have any final thoughts before we go, sir?
Well, going back to MMOs, if you're stuck in a game where you're grinding and just not enjoying yourself, give Guild Wars 2 a try. It's not perfect, but I'm enjoying it. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not going to cost you anything. So,
other than just the, well, if you want to buy in, sure. Otherwise, it's free.
Right, right, right. You can at least try it and then buy later if you like. So,
it's got a good community.
That it does. Now, on a slightly different topic, dragging ourselves kicking and screaming back to tabletop role-playing games. For like the seventh time in the last year, I'm trying to get myself back into writing a tabletop role-playing game. Now, I know back at the start of January, everybody and their mother decided, well, fuck D&D, I'm writing my own game. And I wish them all well. That has nothing to do with this. I'm basically came up with this idea, or it came to mind, inspired by two things. One, Palladium makes horrible games with great settings. Would that not be true?
Oh, it's very true.
For example, Rifts. And I came across a little tabletop role-playing game out there called Patchwork World, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse game. Yes, I know. But yeah, it's a Powered by the Apocalypse game. That is not a Powered by the Apocalypse game. It's more like Troika, for example. It is a modern fantasy game where you can literally play whatever you want to play. There is no set world. There is no set classes, no playbooks, nothing. You basically come up with an idea and you pick two moves. And you got your default moves, your basic moves, which is fine. Everybody gets the same basic moves. And then you get two moves that you can do. And they have a variety of different actions. And you then, as you develop, maybe get more moves and can flesh out your character to be exactly what you want it to be. All right? That's really a kind of a unique take on Powered by the Apocalypse games. So you're not taking a playbook or a class that is, okay, I want to play this, but it says I can do these things, but I'd really like to be able to do this over here. Like in Dungeon World, you pick a fighter, but you'd really like to be able to cast magic, but you can't because you're not a wizard. You're a fighter, right? Now, maybe eventually you can get to the point where you can learn to be able to cast spells, maybe, but not now. With a game like Patchwork World, though, all you got to pick is maybe you get a move that allows you to, like, Magnificent Weapon. So you have this big shiny sword that does all kinds of cool stuff. And maybe you pick the ability to cast spells. So now you have a spell-casting warrior. Is that going to necessarily be as good as somebody who takes Magnificent Weapon and another fighter-based move? Something that makes them even better as a martial fighter? That's debatable, right? But point is, you have that freedom, right? So what I had in mind, being inspired by Rifts, is doing a multi-genre game. That is kind of inspired by Powered by the Apocalypse, but not exactly, and goes with the freedom of a Patchwork World, where maybe there are some playbooks, but also the ability to pick off of a list of additional other abilities, other moves, so that you can be a very unique, instead of you're not just this playbook, you have more that you can do. right from the beginning, giving it the feel of a Rift with a much better system. What would your thoughts on that be, sir?
That's interesting, but can you make it work?
Oh, I already have the thoughts out on it. I got to get it on paper. That's always the big problem. I have the system in my head. It's getting it written out is always the problem. I just have to dedicate myself to getting it done. So what I'm asking people to do here is somebody needs to find me and break my leg. That way I'd be stuck at home and I wouldn't have anything to do but have my leg up, sit in my chair and write.
Are you sure you want to do that?
No!
Because this is the internet. Sometimes they take you seriously.
Well, people want to break my leg for other reasons. This would just give them the out. No, my point is, if I don't have the time to just sit on my ass and be bored with a laptop in front of me to write, I'm going to have a hard time getting it done. But I have to dedicate myself, much like to learning the violin, which I still haven't done, or learning the mandolin, which I still haven't done, but I do have one, or guitar, or bass, or finishing any of many, many games. Yeah, I suck. But anyway, I have a really good idea for a game, and I'm really hopeful. This one really has me excited that maybe I'll actually start writing it someday. Anyway, so, guess until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
I was just kidding. Please don't break my leg. Generic catchphrase ending.
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly, fuck off.